system. I find you in the shows and moving are great. And being a nerd, there's sign systems everywhere you go.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Give.
You're not editing this out.
Yeah, do it again.
All right, start over.
Do it again.
And go.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me up a piece of that.
Oh, was I supposed to?
You're supposed to.
Oh, I didn't. We didn't choreograph this. We're a tightly run machine here. All right, let's do it again.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that.
Kit Kat bar.
That's a good one. Break me off a piece of that.
Kit Kat bar. Third time's a charm. We did it.
Welcome back to the Design System Office Hours podcast.
Hello.
We're about, by the time this airs, we would have reached our 2-year anniversary for the podcast.
Wow. That is bonkers. When you say it that way.
So we'll see if you'll be stuck with us for another 50 episodes, to another 2 years.
Yeah. Oh boy. I mean, with songs like that, we've got at least another 2 years of firepower.
Break me up a piece of that component bar.
Component bar.
Break me up a piece of that tool bar.
I like Kit Kat bar the most.
Break me up a piece of that navigation bar.
I'm taking it back about the 2 years. Oh, man. So what's new with you, man? What's new?
So apropos to our conversation today, we're trying to instill some new updated rituals on our team. So I think your request to talk about rituals and different ceremonies for our teams has been apropos. Very good, very good timing. So we've been trying to instill more rigor into our weekly check-ins. So
love to hear about this. This is something I'm become more and more interested in. And would love to hear how other teams, most notably your team, are doing rituals on a weekly or monthly or whatever basis.
Yeah, so I think a lot of how meta teams share out information is through these, like, I would say our internal Facebook group. So Geodesic, which is my team, has our own team group. So ideally, we would share any sort of team news there, holidays, celebrations, we would share in there. Teams also share their weekly updates in there too, whether they're like work updates or sometimes they share like a one tidbit of social update. So I was recommending that we utilize the group. And I think just to use this as like a mechanism to keep track of what you're doing week to week, and especially at the end of each half or at the end of the year, utilize a mechanism like this to say, oh, in the first few months of the year, I delivered XYZ. I jumped into this. Because at the end of the half, we kind of forget. It's sort of like a cloud of what you may have delivered or may, especially what you may have helped others deliver too. Like sometimes it just sort of flies away with the busyness in our lives. So that's how a lot of teams do it. We even have like bots that will ping you to remind you, similar to like a Slack bot. And at Dizzy Streaming, we utilize Slackbot just to intake the updates too. So I'd have Slackbot ping our team, our design system team, every Monday and Wednesday at 9:30 Pacific time, just for a quick update for what you're working on, what you'll be working on next, if you have any blockers, et cetera. Yeah.
How have those rituals, how were they formed? How did that, what was the history of how they came to be?
Well, I think on the pattern, I'm not sure. I think we're very like newsfeed centric culture. So the how I think a lot of this stuff started was like they'll say, oh, this is top of mind, or like this is what I'm getting into, I'm looking at this week. And I think it started with us posting on our personal feed. So I've been doing that over the past year and a half. So there's like I'm on my personal profile. It showcases like it's essentially like my personal work Facebook page that showcases like questions that I ask, posts that I do on behalf of my team, my personal weekly posts that I do. And I could tune it to see to show whatever is public. And usually like if you were there's a like a shit ton of people here, like more than you would be able to count, like even more than you'd be able to count in terms of people that I support for our design system. So usually what people do is if I'm interacting with you in a meeting, usually I'll go and I'll look at your profile and see like, oh, this is what they've been working on. Maybe there's links to relevant information. Like this is work that they've been doing like the previous like half. So it all started by having that social personal profile. And then I think where it sort of leads to is maintaining transparency on what team members are working on. So like from the outside, without these announcements, it's sometimes unclear to design leadership that may not interact with us day to day what our team is doing, like from like an execution basis.
Okay. So I've never worked at Meta, and it blows me away that a lot of these things are happening online in a social feed. That is, I mean, it's very interesting. How many rituals do you have that are more interpersonal in nature related to the team?
Well, I think so we do have like an in-person version of this too. So like we utilize like, I think I would say previous to this year, we were doing a lot of it just mainly verbally. The problem is that when you do any sort of verbal updates, unless you track any of it, the information just sort of dissipates, right? So I'll say, oh, you mentioned this one thing, PJ, like 3 weeks ago. Do you recall? And no, of course not. I don't recall what I mentioned in a Monday stand-up at 9 a.m.
I'm not even sure if I existed 3 weeks ago. That's how quick my memory goes. It's just like, I could not have existed.
Yeah. So my ask for our DPM was like, what would the appetite be if we just had a document, a Word document or a Google document that had this bullet point of these sorts of things. And it also helps when, and I used to have this like earlier in my career, like during stand-up, I'd have like such anxiety, like, what do I mention that I worked on? Like, cause I didn't complete anything, but I've been working on this thing and I've been doing like regular reviews, but there is a notion that like, if I don't complete it, should I mention it?
Yeah. It's a real thing. Folks get pretty anxious about, some folks get pretty anxious about stand up and just, you know, am I going to be judged? Is this going to reflect poorly on me? It's so interesting how that can play a major role within a team dynamic.
Yeah, the problem also with our stand-up was like we gave it 30 minutes. And so there's 8 of us now. You don't need 30 minutes. So what happens is you sort of eat up the time. It becomes a little uncomfortable. It's like first thing on Monday, you know. So when we, as we had gained more members and we, even though it's 30 minutes, like we, in our minds, we shorten it to 15 minutes and give each person a minute and a half. And then it sort of time boxed us and it became a little more succinct. And the other thing about stand-up too is like, while I think you were like questioning like the social nature, right, of our updates, it's up to us how much we want to share about our personal lives. Like we could share something that's like, oh, I went to snow and it's a picture of snow. That's fine. Like I went to Tahoe and I don't need to, and I could also be a little more, you know, in depth with it. I went to Stowe with my children and I post a picture so sometimes like for me, I post pictures of my kids. I don't mention them by name. I don't mention like their ages. Like I just like, if you know me, you stumble upon my profile, you see that I go to these places and there's like children around.
Yeah, totally. That's super interesting. What other, so that's kind of like your stand-up ritual. Are there other rituals that your team has?
Yeah, the common ones that I think other product design team have. So I'll go with crit first. And our crit is very interesting because our crit, I'll compare and contrast the Disney Plus crit. Balloons are popping up because of iOS showing peace sign. Let's see if the balloons will pop up. I'll compare and contrast the rituals of crit. So previously in Disney Plus crit, we would talk about component creation and component development. Maybe we're updating themes. So we're going to talk about color. Let's workshop this, right? We don't present on behalf of product teams. Like, we don't make product specific decisions because the hard line is we are helping you scale out and make your ideas more systematic across other feature areas. Here it's a little different where, let's say, Sally had a question about cards and how cards can expand and contract, and we need to workshop that component. We'll bring someone else's design problem into Crit and then try to solve it as a product question and a problem and try to be more holistic with the solution.
How has that worked for you in terms of having those structured approaches? Is it something where it becomes monotonous that you're doing the same thing time over time, or do you think that the continuity is helpful for the work?
No, I think the continuity is helpful. There's enough problems and there's enough designers that we support that we're always going to uncover like different flavors of solutions. Like I'll talk about a specific component that has been problematic, like, which is, we call it a pill. I think it's also called, like, what else would you call it? Like the rounded corner thing that has text in it, sometimes has an icon, a token, a label,
a tag.
Yeah. So, we've been going back and forth with designers for like the past year and a half on allowing like custom icons in these tags. And the rule of thumb was like all our tags are either generic text tags or pills, or they are semantic in nature. So if they're a recommendation, then it has a light bulb. If it's an error, then it has this icon. So it's we don't want you to put as much as I love to put dogs in just generic icons. We don't want you to put a dog in a pill. New feature. Like we can't allow that. So we bring that stuff up. We resurface existing documentation. If there's an additional lens where we have to look at it from maybe like accessibility or maybe a different platform, like we need to adapt this for mobile, we utilize the time to explore that. But then this mechanism, this design crit is primarily for our designers only. Very little are engineers brought in. Like I would say 1 in 100 times.
Got it. Yeah. The reason why I ask is because and I'm not trying to be leading, is because I more and more firmly believe that given how fast moving and ever changing this industry is, that having some level of continuity and structure that is semi unchanging can be really helpful, because there needs to be some ground to stand on that isn't shifting at every millisecond. And so that's where I think team rituals can play a strong role, especially within design systems. Because if there's one team that needs to be stable and predictable, it's the design system team. So that's why I was asking how y'all do the work, because I've been thinking a lot about this for, you know, whatever I end up doing next.
Yeah, the gap that I see, though, is so we track all the decisions and the outcomes. It's just in a Google Doc. So like we're sort of peeling back the curtain. A lot of stuff is tracked in plain Google Docs at Beta. And I think that works if you're scrappy. I think that works if you don't have a design program manager. But I think that there's a more effective mechanism to track outcomes. So I believe if we make a decision on something, we should document it in a task. So either in, we have our own task tool. So either in that tool or Asana or Jira, and make sure that it's timestamped, that this was something that was in a crit. You could even use a tag or a pill, whatever you call it, and whatever say that this
lozenge.
This was a crit item. This has been vetted, and it becomes super helpful when you're looking at the backlog and you see, oh, this was something that was vetted in a crit. We could fast track that, and maybe the lift on this is smaller. So the third ritual that we have is office hours, which I think is the one that needs the most tuning, I would say.
Okay. Say more. Tell us more.
We work in a space where we support. Oh, let's see. And it shifts. It shifts annually based on like where we reorged, right? So we support two large facets of the business ecosystem. So one is called a Meta Business Suite, which is like if you're a business, you have a Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp profile, you manage that there. The second piece of this is the piece that drives the most revenue for the company called Ads Manager. And I think very familiar to you for coming from Pinterest or from TikTok, you probably have some sort of Ads Manager. And so those are the two teams that we fluctuate between. We support hundreds of designers. It's extremely difficult to build context in a short amount of time. So our office hours sessions are 30 minutes a piece. So there's times where designers will be giving context for 15 minutes, right? And designers have the innate skill to fill in time.
I will take all that time. I, the designer, the generic prototypical designer, will find a way to fill up every single second of my session. You're right. You're
absolutely right. So I had come up with an idea. Why don't we try to cut this to 15 minutes? And we break it up. And this is like the same way that I would look at giving like a talk or a presentation, right? So a presentation, I would say given 30 minutes, or let's give in an hour slot.
I have best idea. Sorry. Go ahead. I'll tell you later.
No, tell me. What's your idea?
All right. So what you should do is have like the Academy background music start to play, slowly fade in when they're hitting their time limit to make it clear that they have to get off the stage with their acceptance speech. Oh my God, I feel like this has to happen. I want to, for any meeting when someone's talking too long, the music just starts playing louder and louder to make it clear that they need to stop.
I would love that. The only wrinkle in that is like, I feel like the office hours is great because it shows that we're listening. Now, I think there's other mechanisms to prep and give us context other than eat up 20 out of 30 of the minutes providing context. So I wanted to do a pilot that's 15 minutes. 30 seconds of it is like, you tell me who you are, who you are, where you sit, what products you're involved with, because that's something that we forget too. Outside of giving all this context, people don't say who they are. Sometimes they don't even say who their name is. And they're sitting in a room that has some like bogus name, like JT Snow. Like there could be like a room in SF that's named after former, you know, Giants players,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there, it's like JT Snow or it's Joffrey. I'm like, your name's Joffrey? I'm like, no, my name is Jay Onori. I was like, I wouldn't have known that. I don't like, so.
There was a room at Pinterest before our design system was named Gestalt. And it always screwed with my head because I was like, wait, is this the Gestalt team? Like, who is this? And it was just a rando office building. I mean, office room named Gestalt. Yeah.
So rounding back to the problem, like it's impossible for us to develop the product context to understand exactly how to solve like flows and how to create the product for you. How we can help is if you say, I'm trying to do this XYZ with your components, or I've seen in other parts of the app, I'm trying to do this pattern. Like, do you have anything like this to help us achieve this? seems like fairly straightforward, but I feel like the way that we've worked has gone too far into product thinking, rubrics on how to make product decisions that I think they forget that we are like more of an execution enablement team and that we don't have the context. And even if you spent 20 minutes explaining it to us, we're still going to wrap up and ask you what do you need from this office hours?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like bringing it back to the topic. I think that's where rituals can be helpful because it creates just a standard expectation of this is how this works. This is how we do it. These are the steps that we go through every single time. And it's not really the thing unless we're doing it this way. I think we take for granted just how helpful having that protocol is for both internally and also commingling with other teams.
Yeah. I missed another ritual because it's asynchronous ritual. So we have a process called AIP, which is the Ads Integration Portal. I don't know why it's called that. And like we were joking about PJ and I about this, like the terminology that is used like in the corporate world, like human resources or calibrations. Or this is so Ads Integration Portal serves two people, a designer and a design reviewer. So reviewers are reviewers. Designers are integrators. Whatever that means, right? And the process is very sound. It's a place where you submit your product documentation with your design artifacts. You submit it into an asynchronous tool. And the idea is that you're supposed to get designers and product folks across cross-functional teams that you may need review and feedback from. And they'll give you technical implementation feedback, product design feedback, and design system feedback.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then there's an SLA applied to it. So you're supposed to approve and provide feedback within 7 days.
So there are SLAs for AIPs. Do we have any other acronyms that we can throw in there? And they get it ASAP.
They get ASAP, but it's the one-to-one comparison of like Eng review, acceptance criteria review, like at Disney, where that was a source refinement, another weird made up thing.
We got to call it something that would make no sense upon, you know, if you just heard it on the sidewalk, because we're not doing our job. If everyone can understand what the hell we're doing.
And feel for like, I'm thinking about like 2 years ago when I joined the teams and I just hear all of these like wild acronyms. And then of course you're a new designer on a team.
Exactly.
Like you're not going to raise your hand and say, so what is AIP? What does that say? What's source refinement? Refinement? Is this like, are we like working with sugar?
Look, I mean, if you need a dictionary or a glossary to explain what your company does, then you've got a problem. Just name the thing what it is in common speak, and then you're good. But that seems to be something that we struggle with as an industry.
Design review, engineering review. But so we have that. That's been very helpful. And the metric that we're trying to tune is like, as a team, we reviewed like, it was like somewhere like 115 AIP projects. So 115 design projects. So a team of six people primarily did this. And ideally we would run like numbers and metrics to say, oh, our office hours led to a reduction in rejections. And so we measure how many times we reject design. So we reject designs I'm just going to make up a number, like 75-80% of the time they get rejected. And it's usually like very simple things too, that like a linter would be able to pick out, like you picked the wrong platform. Simple, right? Or you picked the wrong theme. You're mixing themes. Like you have a, maybe you have a dark mode component and a light mode frame. So the linter does all of this stuff, but there just isn't much rigor in utilizing the internal tools that have been built. So it becomes like then more costly for us to troubleshoot and provide that feedback to the tune where our team has gotten out of it. And we're going to try to rely more on the linter and more upfront mandates to utilize this stuff, or you may risk being rejected like in the first pass.
Which is funny because like if you, I don't know, maybe this isn't how families work, but if you like bring a basket of Easter eggs to Thanksgiving, people are going to be like, yo dog, like that's not what we're doing here. We're not doing Easter egg hunts in Thanksgiving. But for whatever reason, in corporate rituals and protocols, we're not necessarily as stringent about the purpose of the meeting. You know, like, is there a purpose? Is there an agenda? And then we stick to it. We stick to the script. And if we need something else, then we come up with something else. But it's funny because is there an agenda for the meeting? That's a, you know, typically, well, not typically, but very frequently, no. And that's what helps those rituals get defined, is this is what it is, this is what it's not, this is what we're going to be doing, and everyone's on the same page.
That's a good call. So I think that there's probably some time in design ops land at Meta, there's probably feedback that people don't put meaningful text in meeting invites. So then they created placeholder text that to break down, like, this is what a meeting agenda would look like.
Y'all are y'all do meeting agendas?
Fill it out. Like, at least like if you're inviting someone to say like data viz review. Okay. Like, what do you want to review? Is there a link to an artifact? Is there like a post you could link to? Like some, like there needs to be some way for me to do some sort of pre-work. So I may not be tactically coming up with like a solution for you, but I want to come in knowing that, oh, this is the thing that you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing about rituals, is typically rituals involve more than one person. So providing that structure is not only helpful for them, because now they know what the hell they're getting themselves into, but it's helpful for yourself because those people are prepared and they'll know how to help you when you're in that meeting. And so that's where I keep going back of like building up expectations, building up structure, building up repetition so that everyone's on the same page. You're not spending the first 15 minutes of a 30-minute meeting trying to figure out what the hell you're all in there to begin with. Or as a team, like, what are we doing here? You know, how are we working together? What's the purpose of this get together? So yeah, it's interesting to see how folks work, because I think that this is, seems so basic, but it's oftentimes missing within the team.
Yeah, those are the primary rituals that most ICs participate in. I'll talk really quickly about leadership presentation rituals that happen. So anytime that we present to just the next design leader up, so like a director or something, we go into these like, and I think this was a very similar to at Disney too. So anytime you meet with a area team pillar, whatever you call it, director, those meetings are usually scheduled on a weekly or biweekly basis. You sign up via, either you sign up in a, like a Google sheet and then book a slot. And these are great because they're 15-minute slots. So they force you, right? They force you to be succinct. Elevator pitch, give some metrics, show some pretty pictures, some videos, whatever. But those meetings, they require a pre-read a lot of times. So they provide you, they require you to drop the deck in, let's say like 48 hours before the meeting happens. So I think 48 hours is a little steep, but there's this sort of like, I think mental model, and I subscribe to this too, is like, if you don't have your stuff done 48 hours before this thing, like, are you ever going to have it done? It's like cramming for a test, right? So there needs to be a pencils down point. And like, I think that serves like two mechanisms. One, the design leads could go in and take a look and sort of come up with questions, beforehand, but then there's also probably like at Amazon when I was working there, a lot of times like we would just spend the first 20 minutes just reading, like reading your documentation. So like it's a very written format. Sometimes you have a deck prepared and we'll just go and we'll read it silently, which is like the most awkward thing, especially now like that we're distributed. So just different mechanisms to run your meetings.
Really interesting. I've never, well, no, that's not true. I haven't been in a ton of meetings where the large portion is reading. You're right. It is a little awkward.
Unique.
I always, whenever I'm in those meetings, I am asking myself, can we have read this before the meeting? But I get it, right? Like I understand.
It's a different method of the presentations.
Totally. This is really, I think something that I'm personally really interested in. I think especially for design systems, given how much process there is, I'm always trying to figure out how to improve the structure. So it's great to hear your take on it.
The presentation forms are like another thing. Maybe we could dive into that a little deeper, but like historically speaking, we used to present purely in Google Slides. So then as you become a manager, you live in Google Slides and Google Sheets and such. But I think now there's a lot more designers and higher level designers that are presenting in Figma. So just creating Figma prototypes where, like let's say you're presenting on behalf of your team, you could just copy and paste things from a work in progress file and paste it into your prototype slide. And it just eliminates like some of like the barrier of like making sure that things are exported properly. And it becomes much, much easier to keep up to date than say like a Google Slide document. So that works for some people here.
That's really cool. Well, thanks for sharing that, man. It's just always fun to hear how other folks work.
Yeah. Outside of me, usually before these meetings, like drawing the curtains, lighting some candles, you know,
incense is rocking, you know,
incense is rocking, listening to some Ozzy.
Aqua robes. You put aqua robes on. Yeah. It's Ozzy. Sorry. It took a while to like permeate. Oh, very cool. Thanks, man. I mean, that's all I had for my end. We're about that time, right?
About that time. So thank you so much. Break me off a piece of that.
Good care, Paul.
Thank you.
Yeah.